You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Trees, mountains, a curious kittadu.
It's time for the Green Desk on 95BFM.
This week on the Green Desk, Jack Marshall speaks with a lecturer of sustainable architecture, Priscilla Beeson, from the Auckland University of Technology. New Zealand is facing an energy crisis and quick solutions are needed. Large manufacturing businesses are shutting doors around the country, with an Auckland mill in Penrose announcing its permanent closure last week, which adds up to hundreds of job losses because of the price of power. Here's reporter Jack Marshall.
While the government is talking about importing liquefied natural gas, researchers from Auckland University of Technology say solar in the city is an easy fix that could be implemented at speed. I've got lecturer in sustainable architecture, Priscilla Beeson, in the studio. Thanks for joining me on the Green Desk.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So maybe could we just talk about solar in the city? Why? Why would we want to do that?
Yeah, so New Zealand has a lot of renewable energy already. Our grid is quite green, but energy demand is likely to increase in the next few years. We have electrification of vehicles and various other things. So we are likely to need more energy in the next few years. So when we think about, you know, what kind of energy we should be building, solar is a solution readily available to us. It works. In New Zealand, we have multiple examples of how this has been implemented. But we do discuss in this recent article that we wrote just how we are implementing solar. So solar can be done in different ways, more centralized or decentralized. So we're just thinking, what is the best use of this technology?
What do you mean by a centralized and a decentralized system? And what are the benefits or disadvantages of each system?
Yeah, so when we look at the way we generate energy, we can think about this large-scale infrastructures that we're very used to seeing, such as large hydropower plants, geothermal, even nuclear and coal. These are usually centralized in a certain location, which is often far away from the power is used. So it can be in rural areas, it can be where it is needed. So, for example, with hydro, obviously has to be done in certain locations because of the where the rivers and lakes are. But then we have, with new technologies, the opportunity to look at either centralized or decentralized options. And solar is a really interesting example because it can be done in both ways. So we can build, for example, large solar farms, which are just, you know, placing thousands of solar panels in one location, usually far away from cities where the land is a little bit cheaper. And that's a way, you know, really scaling up solar and doing it in potentially quite a quick way. But solar also offers the opportunity of rethinking the way we generate energy and where we generate energy. So decentralized or distributed energy generation is really integrating it into buildings and communities. So instead of having thousands of solar panels placed far away from cities, we think if it's a better idea to really integrate it and bring it closer to where this energy is used through this distributed or decentralized systems.
So these architects are proposing putting solar panels on the roofs of large commercial operators around Auckland. So how much power could we get? Here's Beeson.
Yeah, so we did a little exercise taking an example of the largest solar farm in New Zealand currently under construction, and looking at what this land would look like distributed in buildings in the city, for example, just for a quick visualization of how much land we have available in rooftops. Yes, we did this exercise of visualizing how much land we have available in cities in some of our largest buildings, and taking for, as an example, the largest solar farm under construction in New Zealand. And using some mapping, we found that the rooftops of 14 of Auckland's largest buildings would have the same land area as this largest solar farm under construction. So we could potentially, you know, be distributing those solar panels in our city in this way. So thinking about, you know, is it easier to distributed in the largest buildings, and this way, you know, have less potentially complications or bureaucracies to, you know, just looking at the largest buildings. But we also looked at, you know, maybe distributing it in other ways. So what if we were looking at schools and supermarkets, which are usually distributed well in our communities? So thinking that, you know, it would be a really good idea if every neighborhood had a solar-powered building that could become kind of a disaster relief space, you know, in case we have any power cuts.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not such a what if for me, because I was actually in Gisborne for Cyclone Gabrielle.
Oh.
And so, yeah, no power, no internet, you know, no cell phone coverage. You couldn't get money out from an ATM.
Yeah.
And so something like this would actually be amazing, just to have one place where you could, you know, still use electricity.
Yeah, just charging your phone and those very basic, you know, things to be able to communicate.
The best thing about these solar schemes are they are cheap. All it involves is putting solar panels on existing roofs and adding batteries in the city. Compare that to the Lake Onslow Hydro Dam, which would have cost $16 billion. But that's not to say we don't need hydro. They are the batteries that power our cities when the sun goes down. Here's Beeson.
We still really need to think about the seasonal differences in demand and supply. So in Australia, their demand and the supply from solar energy really matches because of the climate. In New Zealand, we still have some challenges because in winter nights, we have our peak demand, and that's when we can't have solar power. So it's really working with, you know, integrating those systems and, you know, making sure we still use all those hydropower assets to generate power at night, and how we bring all those different types of energy together to make sure we meet the demand. Yeah.
And so what other countries have been successful in implementing a system like this of decentralized solar systems, and how did they do it, and, you know, what could we learn from them?
Yeah, so there are a few countries investing a little bit more in this. We see a lot being done in Australia, where they have some financial incentives and doing some of this work to really encourage more rooftop solar in homes. I haven't seen that much being done more at this community scale that we have been talking about, like really focusing on community buildings and public buildings. We do see in Spain some kind of community-led solar projects, and other countries as well are Germany, which has, again, incentives and things to encourage more solar. And also it's interesting to mention that in Tokyo, I think from 2025, new homes up to a certain size will have to install solar panels on them if they're built by a certain kind of, like the largest builders in the country. So there are some regulations around that. So, you know, with policies, usually you can work in different ways. You could either encourage more, give more financial incentives, or you could make things mandatory. I think it's always nicer to look at the first option, the incentives, and making it a positive thing rather than forcing people to do things, especially because our houses already cost a lot in New Zealand. So, you know, there are lots of questions in this space.
That was The Green Desk with Jack Marshall, where he spoke about Aotearoa's energy crisis with lecturer of sustainable architecture from AUT, Priscilla Beeson.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM.
was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.